we are on the air. Wednesday, April 21st, 2021, 4/21/21 on the air with Scott Spears and Glenn Coble here on WWGH Radio. We thank Ayers Ratliff, Democratic Second Ward Councilman, for coming on and being very candid in hour number two of the Now program this morning. That's an issue here in Marion, whether or not people like it or care for it or so on and so forth. Glenn Coble was listening on the ride over to that whole spiel. Glenn, what's your feeling on Ayers Ratliff's take on the city auditor?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm excited about our sound. Driving here, it sounded much better, and I'm really excited about that. I've always liked Ayers. Ayers and I have gotten along, and Ayers is a straight shooter, I think, and I think he was trying to be as diplomatic as Ayers can be, and I think he's right on. I think we have to find out. We have to get to the base of the problem. And is there something that we should do to stop this from happening again? That's where he was kind of vague. You know, what do you do? Maybe the council doesn't have any power. And if they have no power, maybe we ought to look into, shouldn't they have some power? Shouldn't there be checks and balances, even at a local level like this? I have to say I agree with Ayers on just about everything he said.
Well, it's very interesting because this auditor issue has become, I think, by anybody's account, personal. Mm-hmm. This is no longer about Republican and Democrat, although that's there. It's personal. Mm-hmm. As Ayers talked about, there are people in the auditor's office who he likes, who he would want to stay there. But I do think this has become very personal, not necessarily with Ayers, but with a lot of people in city government and this particular auditor. And I'm not sure what that dynamic is because, much like many other situations, to be honest with you, I have met the auditor, but he's never come on the program. I've never been able to interview him, but he has been asked many times. I think I talked to him on the phone on election night, the night he won, maybe for 3 minutes. He was on the air with us. But we message occasionally, email, but that's about it. So I really don't know the gentleman's personality.
Well, I'm a Democrat, as you know, and have run for office, as you know. And to show you how unaware I am, but also how estranged he seems to be from the Democratic Party, I thought he was a Republican. And you told me.
Ayers.
Yeah. No. I'm talking about
Landon.
Landon.
Well, Landon
yeah.
is a Republican.
Oh, okay. Well, then I was right.
Ayers.
Oh, no. I know.
Yeah,
okay. I know Ayers.
Well, then we're okay.
Okay. Well, then that's.
You were right.
Well, yeah, when he came into office, you had really surprised me when I thought you were saying he was a Democrat. When he came into office, there were a lot of things that he did that. Most of the Democrats disagreed with in our Democratic meetings that we have.
Yeah, but you know what's very strange to me, as I said to Ayers, I have covered local Marion politics, started out covering city council and county commissioners. I've covered it for a long, long time, and I have never seen a Republican or Democrat independent sitting Marion politician ever have this kind, and whether it's a just reputation or not, I don't know because I don't know him, but I've never seen somebody have this kind of reputation, that they're hard to get along with, which is pretty much what Ayers said, more or less. The mayor has said that more or less.
Yes.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, and maybe that's why he doesn't come on, because maybe he rubs people the wrong way. I don't know. We have a problem right now in the United States of America in that there doesn't seem to be a Republican morality. And I think there is a lot of concern about that. Now, I'm not saying he's immoral at all, but our latest
episode.
Thank you. Our latest episode with our judge, who was a Republican, I know that they're not supposed to announce that, but we know he is. That continues. reinforcing my feeling that there is just not a morality within right now the Republican Party. There are a lot of very moral Republican people, and I'm sure there are very many Republican office holders who take morality very important. But I think there's a weakness for some reason or other. People don't seem to be able to hold their Republican government, hold them up and hold them responsible.
Yeah, but here in Marion, we have three Republican county commissioners. Mm-hmm. We have, I believe it's three Republican council people.
Okay.
We have we have a Republican sheriff. Mm-hmm. We have a Republican prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
We have self-admitted Republicans.
Yes.
I don't hear any of them having that reputation that this auditor
no,
has.
No, I don't either.
So I don't think it is a Republican-Democratic issue here.
Well, the sheriff thing, he's only been in office, what, 3 months, 4 months?
But I've interviewed him.
Yeah.
And he's fine.
Yeah, but I'm on the other side of the story, we'll have to wait and see how he handles himself.
But I think people's politics and personality are completely different things.
As a former politician, I try to keep my politics in line with my morality.
Let me say this. As a news person, clearly I'm going to leave this very vague.
Yes, or you'll be accused,
accused of something. But let me just say, because we're talking about Auditor Landon here, there is a Democratic politician in Marion who I know is very popular, no doubt about it, or they wouldn't be in office. But personality, when I have had to deal with them on a personal basis outside of an interview, so on and so forth, not the greatest personality in the world, and difficult to deal with at certain times. And a matter of fact, I have had issues with them that I have told other high-ranking Democrats about, who say, you know, either, yeah, that's how that person is, or, you know, I can't believe they would act like that. But they did. Mm-hmm. Now, but that's not political, because we're not talking politics mm-hmm. at that point. It's not it's just their personality is a little, I'll tell you, forget local here, but that's true. That's a local story.
Mm-hmm.
Rich Cordray mm-hmm. ran for governor.
Yeah.
I have nothing against Rich Cordray. I have nothing against Mike DeWine. I interviewed them both. Rich Cordray, and I think I've told this story, the entire time I interviewed him, looked at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was odd to me. Now, that's personality. That has nothing to do with his politics.
Well, it also has to do with your personality, that bothered you.
Now, it didn't bother. It was odd.
It wouldn't have bothered me, and I wouldn't have thought of it as odd. You and I have talked about this. And I like Richard Cordray very, very much. And I think he's a brilliant guy. He talks too much and sometimes way above people. And so I guess I understand what
now,
you're coming.
Now, Glenn,
what?
I know darn well, if I came in here and did the entire show with my head down like this and never looked at you for 2 hours, you would think that was different.
Well, now, there, that's a little different, because your visualizations to me give me cues at what you want me, when you want me to talk and when you want me to shut up.
If you had a guest come in who never looked you in the eye for 45 minutes, you wouldn't think that was different?
Yes, I would think it was
different.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
But I wouldn't
Rich
hold
Cordray.
It against them.
I didn't hold it against Rich Cordray. No. And all I'm saying is it struck me as different. I'd never had anybody do that.
Yeah, and I've talked to Richard. I've gone to his place Grove City or whatever it is, a couple of times. And both times that I've talked to him directly, he's talked directly to me. So, maybe he was thinking.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. But and you know what? I never would have told that story during the election.
Yeah.
So
because it might adjust.
It might adjust somebody's opinion. But what I'm saying is that it has nothing. I don't think it had anything to do with him being a Democrat or a Republican. I think it had to do with him. I don't. Again, was he thinking? Was it just a verbal or a nonverbal tick? Was it shyness? A lot of people have said that about him.
I believe he is shy.
Well, and I'll tell you this, and I'm not coming down on Rich Corbett. It just strikes me here. We covered the first Democratic primary debate for governor last time the station did in where was that?
Marysville?
Akron.
Oh, Akron.
It was in Akron at a high school, and we were back in the media room. And that was a big deal because you had Cordray, who was the favorite, but you had Kucinich, who'd come out of nowhere, who was a big name, who was running, and then you had O'Neill and some other people. And we were all back in the media room, and it did get a little Barbie during the event.
Barbie?
And, you know, barbs were thrown.
Oh, I thought you meant like the doll.
No, just barbs. And when it was all over, O'Neill and Kucinich and one other person, I can't remember the fourth guy who was running, but they all came into the media room and did, we never saw Cordray. Mm-hmm. So nobody held it against him, but it was different.
Well, yeah, and he probably needs somebody to advise him on, you know, a PR guy like I used to be, advise him that, hey, you need to get out and talk. Some people just can't do it. My wife could never be a politician because she can't talk to me very easily in public. But I was at the very first one. It wasn't a debate. It was just meet the candidates down in Marysville. That's the one I thought you were talking about. Same thing happened down there. I happened to sit with the Kucinich group, and they were just as splendid and nice, and, you know, I really enjoyed them, and I really enjoyed talking with, who else did I, well, a couple of them, I really enjoyed talking to them. Richard was nowhere to be found. But I did tell Richard when we were meeting later along, I said to him, if you win the governorship, I'll do whatever you need. Because I didn't fall in love with him, but I really thought he was a brilliant guy, and I thought he would have led our state better.
By the way, if anybody wants to talk about anything going on, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Political personalities right now is the topic, or does anybody have anything to say about Ayers Ratliff's appearance on this show this morning? We really haven't had time to open up the phone lines in regard to that. And that was all in regard to this committee that will be formed, has not been formed yet, in regard to city auditor Robert Landon and $1.28 million being, I think everybody has said, even the auditor, that it was mistakenly paid to the state instead of the IRS. Now, what happened after that, I think, is a matter of opinion at this point.
And I think we ought to always let people make mistakes. Criticizing a guy for making an honest to goodness mistake, I think, is a waste of time, and it's not fair. Now, I do like the idea that Ayers talked about, you know, maybe we need to have somebody look into it, because it might not have been a mistake, and if it wasn't, and I'm not saying that it wasn't, but if it wasn't a mistake, we need to correct that.
Give us a buzz here. We'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. WWGH Radio is here for all of your opinions, and we are glad to hear them continuously on this station. Well, the snow last night was interesting here for April 21st.
You know, as you've listened to any of my shows, you'll know that I'm a gardener. A very poor gardener, but I am a gardener. And now all my garden shows tell me that my little the things that I've already planted will last through this snow with no trouble. Most of the things will be fine tomorrow, even though the temperature is supposed to get down to 27. If it goes much lower than that, I may lose some of my lettuce. But that snow, it's so disappointing. I had little green things shooting up, and I thought, oh, they're going to get hurt. But we'll find out this afternoon as it melts off.
So what are you growing?
Well, right now I have carrots, I have spinach, I have lettuce, I have bok choy, I have peas, I have, what else do I have? I have garlic, I have shallots, onions.
No tomatoes?
Not yet. No. That's something you don't put in until after the...
But you know, you get a massive amount of tomatoes.
I don't.
You don't? Really?
I'm a terrible gardener.
Oh.
But I have my little indoor plants down in my basement with my grow light on. My indoor tomatoes are doing very well. So I'm hoping that when I put them out, they will do very well.
Well, I didn't get much of a chance to talk about this morning because there was a lot of other stuff going on. But yesterday, the Chauvin verdict came in, guilty on all three counts. I'll tell you, though, there was, from the time that the verdict, it was announced that the verdict was going to come in, there was about 45 minutes there where every news network came on and broke into programming and all the cable channels went there.
For 45 minutes.
Yeah, but what I thought was interesting was that everybody got there. You know, people were watching in large numbers on social media. People turned to those stations. People really wanted to hear what this was going to be, and protests formed across the country. And I believe if it had went the other way, there would have been some big problems.
Oh, yeah,
last night.
I agree. Yeah. Now, my wife and I had some errands that we had to do, but we found out that they were going to announce it in 45 minutes. So we got those errands done real quickly so we could come back and listen to the announcement.
What did you think when the judge read that?
I thought he did a terrific job. Now, and the reason why I say that is he didn't get up on a soapbox. He didn't make it over dramatic. He just stated what the jury had said. And I thought that was very, very good. I'm going to say this once, and I don't want people to call in and get mad at me. I felt sorry for former Officer Chauvin. Chauvin? Whatever it
Chauvin,
is.
But say it both ways.
Okay. And I will not say I felt sorry for him because I thought he got screwed, if you'll excuse the expression. I thought he had been brought up in a poor manner. Obviously, if he didn't understand what he was doing, something was amiss in his upbringing. And I kind of felt sorry for him. But I certainly believe he got what he deserved, or he's going to get what he deserves.
You know, it's the video became very important to this.
It did.
And, you know, it's one of those instances, again, where clearly I don't think anybody believes that the officer was trying to kill.
I doubt that he had that in the front of his mind.
Right, which is why it's not first-degree murder. But what was going through his head? That's the question.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he would have ever dreamed that this would have happened. I don't know if he would have ever dreamed that he would have died. I don't...
Yeah.
That's a very... Because, see, officers unlike us... Now, we are not allowed... by law, to lay our hands on people unless somebody attacks us in self-defense. And even that's a little sketchy, to be honest, when it goes to court. If you touch somebody, that's assault. If you even verbally go after them, some people can say that's... or it's battery when you assault is can be verbal. So I don't think he meant to do it, but I'm not sure why it happened. That's it. I don't know, because I think in his mind he was probably going back to restraining somebody who they obviously planned on taking in. But something broke down there.
I hate to blame training, but I would say he had none as far as what he should do in that situation. I personally... thought, you know, they said that in that situation where the 27-year veteran lady who shot that young man with her gun thinking it was their taser, and they mentioned that the taser always goes on the weak side. If you're right-handed, it goes on the left side. I think they should put the taser on the strong side and the gun maybe behind their back. I think we've got to find a way to get guns out of policing. And I understand why police have to have them, I guess, but the British policemen didn't have guns for decades, centuries, and they got along fine. I think we've got to find a way to cut down the deadly power of policing.
Does anybody have any opinions on that whole verdict yesterday? Certainly everybody did watch it. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The Chauvin verdict in the Floyd case. We'd love to hear your opinions on that or anything else.
Don't talk too much about it because we're going to do that on my show.
Oh, that's well, here's the thing. You know, one of the issues is this certainly became about race.
Yeah.
Without question. Now, it's kind of a conundrum in a way because, as we have just said, we don't believe that he was trying to kill George Floyd.
Well, I'm not sure I don't believe that he was trying to kill him. I'm not sure that he went to the scene and said, I'm going to kill me a black man. I don't think he felt that way. But once he got his knee down on it and completely had him under control, I think he lost concern about that black man under his knee. And I just can't understand how a human being who was raised... I don't know how he was raised, but I would think if he was raised in a Christian home, and everybody here in America claims we're a Christian, well, not everybody, but about half the people say we're a Christian nation. If he was raised as a Christian, certainly once he stopped moving, you would do something to make sure his life was saved. I don't understand it.
Well, I don't know. See, I'm not sure if that's where the racial component came in or if it was, would we have arrested somebody for this forgery?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Excuse me for laughing, but that is laughable.
Well, I think that's, to me, where a lot of the racial component came in.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi.
Just a comment about the whole Derek Chauvin thing. What really struck me was the 9-year-old whose statement said that she witnessed paramedics when they came on the scene telling him to get off of him.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, speaks volumes. I mean, I just think it's unfortunate. And I don't know if you heard about the 16-year-old that got killed in Columbus last night.
Yes, yeah, I watched it this morning, yeah.
You know, this officer pulls up on what could be a deadly situation. She's got a knife. She's attacking. But I'm with you. I loved your idea about the taser and the gun switching opposite sides.
Thank you.
You know, I think they depend on the gun way too much, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah. I believe that.
But do you think, see, the race thing, because here was one of the issues. When it was all over yesterday, all the news channels went to this press conference where you've got Al Sharpton out there and Jesse Jackson's in the background and legal representation mm-hmm. who's become very well known. He's yeah. there and he spoke. And this is the press conference. And I don't know, and I don't think the prosecution felt that Chauvin meant to kill him, or they would have went for first-degree murder.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
right.
Where was the race in the idea that we should not even have been arresting somebody for this, or did race come in once...
I just think it comes down to that extra force, that physical force that they're using that's not... And who knows? He might have done the same thing to a white guy. We just don't know, but...
My guess.
I think there's. Go ahead.
No, I'm just guessing, but I don't think it would have even started with this much vitriol
if
he had been a white man. Yeah.
Nope, I agree.
Well, it's
I think Martin Luther King would be. It's sad that we really haven't made a whole lot of progress, I feel, in this country. I mean, I know that.
You're very young.
Kind of thing. Yeah. No, I'm 50. I've been around a little bit.
Okay.
But I just feel like there's still so much of it, and I don't feel like we're making really any headway.
Well, if you lived,
maybe that's just my personal point of view.
Oh no, and I think a lot of people believe that way, and there are many a day that I feel that way. Why can't we learn? Why don't we? But I will guarantee you, having been brought up in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, we have made headway. but it's not enough. It's nowhere near enough. Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
The headway is in little dribs and drabs, and not enough.
You're right. I mean, we don't have segregated bathrooms. We don't have that kind of thing.
Well, there are places they still have them. I've been there.
Really?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No.
How is that legal?
It isn't legal, but they don't do anything about it. But I was visiting a place in Florida when we went down to see my mother and father-in-law, and there was a sign outside, and it was a very old sign, but the sign was still up that says white only on drinking.
Oh, my.
And now that doesn't mean that they're going to do anything if a black person wants to take a drink out of that. But it's still there to warn them.
So it wasn't just a part of history that they kept up to remind.
They might have said that. Just like leaving General Lee up.
They might have said that.
And I understand history is good to remember, but I don't know. Not that. I tell the story about going to, I was singing with the Army Field Band, and one of the members of the Soldiers Chorus, matter of fact, he happened to be my roommate on that trip, Bob was African American, and we both went over to get a drink of water, as you do before you sing, and he was told by a white gentleman can't you read, boy?
Oh, boy.
And there was a sign that said whites only. Now, this was several years ago. This was 40 years ago. But those signs are still up, some of them. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Take them down.
Well, thanks for letting me have my little say.
Thank you for calling.
I love it. I love it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling.
All right, phone lines are open. If you get the busy signal, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
I was watching last night, and Shaq, and I can't remember Shaq's last name, he's on MSNBC. He was interviewing three or four people after the verdict came in, and the last person he interviewed was, I'd guess, a 40-something white male. And I texted him and thanked him for interviewing a white male. And the white male, the reason why is because the white male said what I've said for a long time. He said, we need to, and he was referring to white people, we need to learn. We haven't learned. When I texted Shaq, I said, thank you for having him on. And as an old white guy, who grew up in a very interracial and diverse area, I'm still learning. I sometimes have to say to myself, Glenn, that is very cruel to think that or to say it that way. I think we need to keep on learning.
Now, why is Shaquille O'Neal doing interviews?
It's not Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, that's when you say Shaq, that's who I think of.
No, I can't remember what Shaq's last name is. He's an African-American announcer for MSNBC. Very thin, handsome young man.
Did anybody else know that? When you say Shaq, I think we all go to the football player.
Or
a basketball player.
Well, that makes it easy to remember his name. And it might not be his real name. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. It's a very interesting subject, race, and everybody has a different opinion on it. And this certainly became a trial about that in a large degree. But you know, I don't. It's very touchy because I think sometimes that we treat a lot of people differently. I think we treat people differently, rich and poor. I think we treat people differently, old and young.
Oh, yeah.
Fat and skinny. I think there are a lot of divisions that we draw in society. I think we look at somebody and we immediately make subconscious opinions in our own mind.
Yeah, and I think we always will. And I think it's wrong sometimes when you make those subconscious adjustments. I don't criticize people for doing that. Well, maybe I do, but I try not to. What I'm saying is we just have to be aware, all of us have to be aware, that if I call a Southern gentleman, a redneck, just because he sound, you know, he has that accent, I'm being cruel. I'm saying it derogatorily. We've just got to be aware that, I hate political correctness, but being politically correct doesn't necessarily mean you're just doing what you're, you know, just following the rules. Being politically, truly politically correct means you're thinking about what you're saying, and I think we have to do that. By the way, his name is Shaquille Brewster. And he's with MSNBC.
Well, it's interesting to me because there were many discussions in Marion not too long ago about how being a woman and trying to run for politics, a political office, was a problem in this particular area. Now, women have held political office in this area. Now, what I have noticed
very good women, yes.
Yeah, but what I have noticed is it's really not about being a man or a woman in this area. It's which political party you come from. I think you could elect, if you put that particular label on one person, I don't care what trait they had, I think they will have a much better chance of being elected than the other person. But sometimes people who lose, who maybe have they're not a white male, let's say that. Mm-hmm. Say the reason they lost is because of those not being a white male. I don't know that that's true. I think it has more to do with the political party that you came. I've seen those lines now for 4 years, voting lines. I see that everybody who wins more or less in one political party gets just about the same amount of votes.
Absolutely.
And the people who lose by about the same amount of votes.
I told my wife last night, well, not last night, a couple nights ago, I told my wife, Jesus Christ could run for office as a Democrat in Ohio and lose.
Well, it's definitely become more difficult in Ohio, although Nan Whaley is running.
Doesn't mean she's going to win.
No, but I'm still, what I'm looking at is the Republican side, because there are a lot of Republicans who do not support Governor DeWine because of the pandemic situation, and I'm curious to see if he will be primaried.
I've said this on my show, Progressive Life, and I will say it many times between now and whenever we quit that show. You have to think, and people are not thinking. They're joining a team. Now, I grew up 18 years. I was in intercollegiate athletics, and I know what joining a team means, and I'm glad that people join a team. But if you're joining a political team and not thinking about the consequence, or not thinking about what that politics, what that organization stands for, you're doing yourself and the country a disservice.
Well, I think everybody makes a choice.
Yeah.
And I think at some point...
But use your brain.
Well, but you know, it's funny. Because if we had somebody in here if we had a Republican in mm-hmm. here, and the show was a Conservative Life, I'm sure they would say the same thing, just with a different slant.
Oh, I absolutely think the conservative person should use their brain, just like the liberal person. And you can be a liberal and believe in a lot of things that liberals believe in and be just as wrong as being a conservative and believe all the things that conservatives believe and be wrong. Or you can be right. Both sides can be right. But let's talk about it. Let's think about it. What does it really mean for the society? Not what does it mean for me? And why is my team losing? I've brought this up several times. When I was a young person, we used to do paper drives. And for some reason or other, we were always divided into the red team and the blue team. And you got to the point where you hated, well, you didn't really hate them, but you didn't like the people on the red team if you were on the blue team or vice versa. And that's kind of where we are right now. You don't like the person on the red team if you happen to be a blue teamer. And I think that's silly, and it's really not helping the country.
Well, probably not, but it's going both ways.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying it's only going one way.
And I don't know how you fix it.
I just thought that would take too long if I said both ways.
Well, I just don't know how you fix it. I don't think at this point it is fixable because it became a state thing, and now it's becoming a local thing, and it certainly is not going away.
I'll tell you how you fix it. You fix it with your own little pea brain. You start thinking. That's all I'm asking. Just start thinking what's good for the country, not what's good for my party.
Yeah, but you know, the problem is that I think what we fail to... I always say this with people on a genuine level.
Oh, we're going to get in a fight now.
We are going to get in a fight. Oh, good, because we're right at the end of the hour. We'll take it right up to the hour, then really get people to listen.
Go.
But no, it's what I say this to people. When somebody comes to you with a problem, they really don't want your advice, even if they ask for it. All they want to do is be heard.
Yeah.
They want to get it off their chest, and they want to tell you what's going on.
We're not
going to
fight.
Right, and they want you to say, I understand it.
Yeah.
I understand you. That's it.
Yeah.
And what politically we have forgotten how to do, that other politicians remembered how to do, is that we say things in a very derogatory nature to somebody else who's in another party. And we have forgotten how to say, okay, I know you don't agree with me on a lot of things, but I hear you. That's it. I hear you. Instead of saying negative things, you know, if I believe that a screen door should be left on, and you believe that a screen door should be taken off, we are never going to agree on that because we have opinions. But I can say to you, I understand that you want that taken off. I'm never going to agree with it because I want it there, but I get it. And I'm not going to say, you're an idiot because you want that taken off. But that's what we do now. You're an idiot because you want it taken off. And that's, you know, but that's what happens in politics. Every political issue is, if you don't agree with me, not only do I not agree with you, but you don't think. You're a moron.
Yeah, and I don't think that's what I'm saying when I say think.
But that's what I think that's what people hear.
Yeah, and I hope that's one reason why I like our current president, because he doesn't seem to say that. But the problem with it is, now people are starting to say, well, yeah, but he's weak. Well, he's not weak. He's strong because he's able to listen. And he may disagree with you, but he knows what you're saying.
Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I heard the other day about a friendship that broke up because of a political discussion. Another one. And I think, why would that ever, ever, ever break a friendship up?
Well, I've had two people dump me on Facebook because of politics. There have probably been a couple more, but those are the only two that I know for sure. And the reason why they dumped me was not because I supported Biden as opposed to Trump. The reason why they dumped me is because they didn't want to hear that anybody would support somebody else. I think we got to hear it. I try to keep as many people on. I've only dumped a couple of people from Facebook only because they're using really evil language and stuff like that. But I try to leave them on so I can hear what they're saying. There might be reasons that this little pea brain of mine doesn't understand, and maybe I'll learn something.
Well, there are big issues that I understand both sides of. And I really do. And that's not just a journalism point of view. There are big issues in this country
sure.
that people fight about every day that I absolutely know why people feel that way.
Well, finances is one of those things. I absolutely understand why people think we should not overspend ourselves. And I also understand why people think we have to spend to help our people. Listen to both sides and do the best you think you can.
But I also know socially why people are making decisions that they're making. I mean, it's not hard to tell if you talk to somebody for 5 minutes why they believe what they believe.
Yeah. Well, I kind of disagree with that, but I'm not quite sure what we're talking about. So this
any
is a
social,
longer discussion.
No, any social issue. I mean, you can go right down the list. Same-sex marriage. You can go down the list to right to life, right to choose. You can go right.
You're talking religion now, not.
Well, I don't know. You know what? Not always. Not always.
Okay.
When I have known many people who were right to life people who had no religion. I have known people.
I don't know a soul. Like
oh, I have.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely.
You have to introduce me to that
person. Well, I'll tell you who they are. A lot of them are mothers.
Okay.
Mothers feel very, they've given birth to a baby, they've mm-hmm. carried a baby for nine months, and even though they don't go to church every week, and they don't believe they're going to go anywhere when they die, they believe that that life started the moment that conception happened, mm-hmm. when it was in their belly.
And I understand that, and that's why I am a pro-choice. But I also am an anti-abortion person. I believe you should not have an abortion just as a birth control thing.
So that's an example of a non-religious pro-life person. And same-sex marriage, that is even less steeped in religion than I think it used to be. I think that's more steeped in the visual, to be honest. That's
I understand
it.
That.
People don't want to see it.
Right. And
that's
I'm,
it.
I'm very much in favor of being able to marry whoever you care to marry, but I cannot stand watching that ad on TV where the two African-American people, I think it is, two guys kiss each other. And that's just the way I was brought up. It's just, it's one of those ooh moments for me.
Well, the phone lines will remain open here, 740-383-9944. Don't forget, we got another hour of this program, so call in. Then we have A Progressive Life from 12:10 to 1 p.m. today. We also have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 until 7 p.m. tonight, right here on WWGH Radio. Stay tuned. Back in 15.
OP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
You know, Abe, there's been this thing for years that people thought you were dead. Do you think that has worked against you in your